I've enjoyed getting to know many of you. For instance, I'm doing a series of question and answer sessions with staff and elders. We had dinner with Kevin and Patty Pound a week ago this past Thursday. I've had breakfast or lunch or dinner with many of you. I've had lunch with a men's group this past Wednesday. We had dinner with a group from church last night. And I played tennis with some guys on Monday, Scott Komenerski, George Curry, and Chris Conker. It reminded me of the saying, there are two keys to victory, choosing your opponent and choosing your teammate. I chose my teammate well, but my teammate may not have chosen his teammate so well. We lost a tiebreaker in tennis 7-6. That's as close as you can get without winning. So we didn't come in last, we came in second. And we'll get them next time. Surveys, fill them in. Just remember, folks should always get their say, but they won't always get their way. If you're in the minority, you will be outvoted. There's no shame in that, but you will have been heard. Next, appreciate the PNC. Remember that these are volunteers. They'll do the best they can for you. Value them, pray for them, love them. Brace yourself for change. Every church goes through some change during and after a transition. But don't go to a different church, at least not yet. We need you, especially right now. And come next week, let me echo what Chris said. Come next week to hear from our high schoolers. There will be one service at 10 a.m. If you come for a service at 9, you'll be way early. And if you come for a service at 10:30, you will miss out on half the service. Speaking of service, let's talk about today's health habit. We've talked about worship time and Bible time and fellowship time, and in a few weeks we'll talk about prayer time, but today we're talking about service time. I'd like to tell you today of the tale of two captains. Each of them would have come and gone in virtual obscurity if it had not been for crisis moments that they both experienced in recent years, and I'll tell you more about that in a few minutes. Our next topic in this series is, as I said, service, and a Bible survey confirms several truths about service. They're listed on your insert, which looks a lot like your bulletin today, but on the back side of your insert, there is a list of 10 principles about service. Don't worry that the principles will be short, but if you want to add your notes, feel free to do so. If you just want to listen, you can do that as well. Beginning with number one, service is the pathway to greatness. Service is the pathway to greatness. Jesus said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Service is the pathway to greatness. Jesus did not rebuke his disciples for their desire for greatness. He simply redefined how to get there. He taught that greatness comes through service. The world defines greatness by how many people serve you. The Lord defines greatness by how many people you serve. Would you like for the Lord to think highly of you? Then think highly of others. Find ways to invest your time and talent and treasures for the good of others, to enrich their lives. That's the first principle. Service is the pathway to greatness. Next, service makes us more like Jesus, who said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is one of the Bible verses that we memorized early on in my Christian life. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. A person can hold a high position and still be a servant if that person holds that position for the right reason. Let me illustrate. On Air Force One, there are at least three people: the president, the pilot, and the porter. Which of those is a servant? It's a trick question. Which of those is a servant? Perhaps all three, depending on the reason they hold their position. The issue is not the position they hold, but the purpose for which they hold it. Jesus holds the highest possible position in all the world. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but he filled the role of a servant. He came to serve. That means he did what was best for others, not what was most convenient for himself or comfortable for himself. The position you hold is not the issue. The reason you hold that position is the issue. Service makes us more like Jesus. That's one reason we serve. This same verse points out that service requires sacrifice. Jesus said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus sacrificed his life in service. Your service may not kill you, but it probably will cost you. It will require some time or energy or money, some options that you could have spent on yourself, but that you chose to spend on someone else. If something doesn't cost much, frankly, it's not worth much. So be ready to sacrifice a slice of your life in service. Next principle, service is for the common good. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, "Now to each one the manifestation, the expression, the showing of the Spirit is given for the common good." Service is for the common good. The Spirit is at work in us, but not primarily for us. The Spirit is at work in us to work through us for the benefit of those around us. So the question we need to answer is, what will be good for others? Service is not for the purpose of making the server feel good, although that might be a side effect. Service is not for the purpose of making the server look good, although in terms of being an example, that might occur as well. Service is for the purpose of allowing the server to do good for the common good. Next principle, service is for the church and the world. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, "As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Doing good begins at home. Every good family will ensure that their family has food, clothing, shelter, healthcare, transportation, kindness, compassion, love. The way we show love to our church family can be a very winsome thing to a skeptical, cynical, watching world. So church love family can be magnetic. We express love for our faith family when we serve the church. While service starts in the church, it spreads to the world. Service may start at home, but it also goes from home to others. Each of us is to care for families across the street, across town, across the nation, even across the globe as we're able. Deeds of generosity, care, kindness, concern, compassion, and love help to further the cause of Christ. So when you teach a Sunday school class, when you facilitate a small group, when you're involved with SCAMP, when you are engaged with Habit Jacks or the food pantry, that is a good thing. Service is for the church and for the world. Service is, the next principle, what we were made for. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, "We are God's workmanship, God's craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Our service was prepared for us in advance. We were not made for show. We were made for service. Let me illustrate. A friend of mine, who is a pastor, was building a new building. Their church was building a new building. So they had a ceremonial, groundbreaking service with a shovel that they had painted gold. Those leaders who participated in the ceremonial groundbreaking service signed the shovel. The shovel was placed in a glass case. The case was displayed in the church foyer when it was completed. It's a very attractive memento of a very important event in the life of their church. But that shovel was strictly ceremonial. No real work was done with it. Walk into any hardware store or big box store, and you'll see rows of clean shiny tools on display. But the hardware store or the big box retailer does not want those tools to be displayed and clean and shiny for very long. They want those tools to be bought and sold and used. We are not made for display items in a glass case or in a hardware store. We are made to be tools. We are made for work. A more appropriate metaphor for us would be the garage or the shed or the workshop. You are created for work. Don't be just a display item. Next principle, service starts in our hearts. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. The Lord desires from us a whole lot better than half-hearted effort. As I said before in different words in a previous sermon, imagine a sweetheart saying, I love you with half my heart. Or a student saying, I gave this course a half-hearted effort. Or an athlete saying, I left half of it on the field. Well, those kind of comments would not be impressive. We all want to see a wholehearted effort in every pursuit of life. And the Lord desires that as well. And the Lord deserves that. Service starts in our hearts as we work at our service with all our heart. The next principle is service is ultimately for the Lord. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 3, serve wholeheartedly as if serving the Lord, not people, because it is the Lord Christ you are serving. We serve others not because they deserve it, but because Jesus deserves it. For instance, parents appreciate it when people do nice things for their kids. And that they appreciate it, they like you because of it. Our Heavenly Father appreciates it when we help His loved ones. There's a real sense in which we do not serve because we love the church or because we love people in the church or outside the church, but because we love Jesus. Next principle, service comes through our gifts and abilities. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Your service and mine is the delivery system for the grace of God. He intends for you and me to be channels of blessing. So fill in the gaps with service. Now, if you have an insert, then the third panel lists gifts, abilities, passions, and stage of life. The Lord wants you to use your gifts to serve others. That's the G in gaps, fill in the gaps with service. The Lord wants you to use your gifts to serve others, not to draw attention to yourself or gain admiration from yourself. If you're born again, you have one or more of the spiritual gifts that are listed in the insert in your bulletin. No one has every gift, but everyone has one, every believer has one or more gifts. A spiritual gift is an extraordinary ability of an ordinary thing. Take teaching, for example. Everyone is supposed to communicate truth in their conversation, but some are called to teach in a more formal way. Or take wisdom. Every believer is supposed to be wise and to grow in wisdom, but some are gifted at an unusual level to impart wisdom. Or take giving. All believers are supposed to help support the work of God, but some are able to joyfully and quietly give more than average. Let me illustrate. I can play tennis just like Djokovic and Medvedev, the number one and the number two male tennis players in the world right now. I can serve, return, and volley. I did that Monday, but I lost. I did that Monday, but it sure looks different when they do it versus when I do it. I can play the guitar like Brad Paisley or Eric Clapton, six strings, various chords, and more, but it sure sounds different when they do it than when I do it. I can use a computer like Bill Gates or Tim Cook, keyboard, mouse, screen, but it sure is different when they do it. I serve, I give, I show mercy, but it's not the same as when someone with the gift of service or with the gift of giving or with the gift of showing mercy does those things. I suppose if I had to, I could teach children's church, lead a youth group, direct worship, but it would not be as good as when others do it. A spiritual gift is an uncommon ability to do a common task. That's the G in GAPS, spiritual gift. In addition to our spiritual gifts, we have natural abilities. That's the A in GAPS. Those natural abilities are developed over time through training and practice and usage. Some folks are good at music. Some folks have technical skills. Some are adept at organization and administration. Whatever your abilities, put them to use for the Lord. Well, that's the G and the A in GAPS. Next is the P, or passions or personality involved. We are wired to work best in a certain setting with a certain age group. Take teaching, for instance, which is a spiritual gift. But some teachers are better with children than with youth. Some teachers are more comfortable with youth than with children, and some teachers are made for adult ministry. In all cases, they're exercising a spiritual gift, but they're exercising it according to their personality or passion. Take hospitality, for instance. Some folks are more at home in the church kitchen. Some folks are more at home in the church lobby. Some folks are not comfortable except in their own home. Each of them is exercising the gift of hospitality. They're just doing so in a different way based on their personal passion and their personality. So follow your heart, pursue your passions, fulfill your personality. That's the gift, the abilities, the personality, and the stage of life. Do what fits you at this time in your life. Now, sometimes that focus can change. Take my wife, for instance. When we had babies, Dina worked in the nursery. When we had children, when those babies grew to be children, she taught children's Sunday school. When we had teens, she led the quiz team. Her service focus was largely determined by her stage of life and the stage of life of our family. It was also determined by the stage of life of our church. For instance, when we were involved in a building program, Dina was in charge of interior decorating and the landscaping team. Churches go through developmental stages like people do, and one set of your gifts will fit well in a given setting, another better at a different time in the development of the church. For instance, I used to play guitar and lead worship on occasion early in the life of our Illinois church. It wasn't long before people who were more talented than I was arose to volunteer, whose talent easily exceeded mine, and I was no longer the best one to lead worship, and I was happy for others to take that task. Another example is the small group ministry of our church. When we began that small group ministry, I led three small groups every week. Eventually, as others arose who felt called and capable, I led fewer groups and I began instead to lead the leaders. So sometimes the stage of life or the stage of a family or the stage of a church determines a certain activity. And when that stage has come and gone, we may switch the service that we perform. Each of us has spiritual gifts, natural abilities, personal passions in a certain stage of life, and we're called to fill the gaps that exist. Occasionally in my church in Illinois, people would ask, or people would say, I would join your church if you had thus and such a ministry. And my consistent response to them was, maybe the Lord is calling you to fill in that gap and provide that ministry. Fill in the gaps with your service. Now beware of what some people have called gift projection. Don't be critical of someone else because they don't do what you do. And don't be insulted if they don't share your passion for a given ministry. Allow others to use the gifts they do possess to do what they do well and what they feel God has called them to do, rather than expecting them to use gifts they do not have to do what you call them to do. Gift projection also assumes that anyone can do anything. The fact is, no one can do everything, but everyone can do something. And each person is made for a particular kind of work. You don't usually drive a screw with a hammer or drive a nail with a screwdriver. You probably use the tool made for the task. My seamstress wife, my quilter wife, will sometimes fuss at me because I try to use a particular pair of scissors to cut paper when it's more appropriate to use that pair of scissors to cut fabric. Well, they all look like scissors to me, but I do what she says anyway. You and I are like tools in the box of a master craftsman, and we are different by design, and he utilizes us accordingly. Here's a poem. An argument arose among the tools inside the chest as each of them would claim that they of all the tools are best. The hammer pounded, "I alone can drive a nail through wood." The saw said sharply, "I alone can cut it well and good." The tape remarked, "But I alone know where you should cut through." The level bubbled, "I alone can balance straight and true." And then the craftsman spoke up, "I designed you one and all to mark and cut and hang and nail the wood into the wall. You all would fail alone, and each is needed by the rest. It's when you work together in my hands that you work best." Our job and our joy is to discover what we do best and where we fit best and how we contribute best. One final principle of service, and that is service brings rewards here and hereafter. Hebrews chapter 6 says, God is not unjust. He's not unfair. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Now, others, people might forget. People might not even be aware of what you have done. They will not see the early hours or the late hours you spend preparing for a class or a group or an event, or helping someone in some special way. But the Lord sees and will not forget any moment of that. Ultimately, service is remembered by the Lord. And it doesn't cost. It pays. He will not forget. And Jesus said in a later place, Revelation 22, "I am coming. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." Jesus does not want to come with rebuke for what we could not do and did not do. Instead, he wants to come with rewards for what we could do and what we did do. Now let's return to a tale of two captains. Francesco Schettino was captain of La Costa Concordia when it hit an underwater rock and capsized off the coast of Giglio, Italy, on January 13, 2012. 32 people lost their lives. Regarding his early departure from La Costa Concordia, Captain Schettino said that when the ship turned over, he slipped off and fell into a lifeboat. That's what he said. Chesley Sullenberger, also known as Sully, was pilot of U.S. Airways Flight 1549 on January 15, 2009, when it left LaGuardia Airport bound for Charlotte, North Carolina. By the way, Charlotte now houses the remains of U.S. Airways Flight 1549 at their airport. During its initial climb, it struck a flock of geese. Both plane engines lost power. Sully made an emergency landing on the Hudson River. Before he left the plane, he waded through the rising waters in the fuselage twice to make sure that everyone got out safely. He was last to leave. All 155 people aboard the plane survived. And it was called the Miracle on the Hudson. Each of those men was captain of a different vessel. One vessel was not made for water and was kept afloat until all were rescued. One vessel was made for water and sank. The difference in these two captains is phenomenal. One was selfish and lives were lost. One was selfless and lives were saved. And people around them felt the result of their selfishness or their selflessness. In one case, 155 people and their loved ones were glad. In one case, 32 people and their loved ones were sad. You can be a source of fulfillment, not frustration. Gladness, not sadness. Blessing, not cursing. By being involved in the spiritual health habit of service. Service is what we were made for. It's the pathway to greatness that makes us more like Jesus. Service brings blessing to others, rewards to us, and honor and pleasure to the Lord. So, consider which gift and ability is lying dormant within you. Consider where you might best use that gift and ability. Consider what is most appropriate for your stage of life, and then serve. Use a connection card. Let us know what form of service or what place of service, what type of service might be best for you. Brothers and sisters, find what's right for you and serve. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the call to serve. We pray we can be not selfish, but selfless in responding to the call and establishing the spiritual health habit of service. We thank you for that honor. In Jesus' name, amen.